So Yuma Lundi, this is my first time giving this presentation and I'm really thrilled to be doing it, and thank you Dijan Yumaba so much for being here, because this is exciting! I'd like to introduce you to some of my team who's here today. So we have Paulina. Paulina, I would like to gift you with this cucumber.
Of your love.
So Paulina is the director of Woden Valley Early Learning, previously known as Woden Valley Childcare. We have Pretty, who's a team leader of the toddler room. And we have Mariah, who's a team leader of the junior preschool room. And we have Marissa, who is the places and spaces educator. So she's a non-contact lead educator who facilitates the children going out onto country and nature walks from the service. So if you would like to begin nature walks at your service, on our website we've created a video on how to prepare for a nature walk. Also, Marissa is a wild care volunteer, wildlife carer, and often brings joeys into the service because she's feeding them in her breaks. So we've got...
They're at home because they're quite big at the moment.
Yeah. So. And I'm the nature pedagogy leader, Gabby, and I'm wearing this mirror necklace so you can see yourselves in me. Anyway, so this is the first time I'm giving this presentation, so let's see if what I have to say is useful. Alright, so here we are. Recognise this? Yes! Oh, great. And we're here in the Hedley Bear room, in the Hedley Bear Centre, or as I like to call it, Educational Super Friends Headquarters. Yeah, thank you. We are assembled. We are assembled, and we're here on Ngunnawal country, Darununawal, this land. There's Ngunnawal land. And this planet is very, very big. Yet it's in peril. Yet it's not too late. They're coming to take it away in the rubbish truck. There it goes. So it's not too late. We heard just last week from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, act now or it's too late. Yep. But that's okay. We're here now. We have assembled the Educational Super Friends. Within a week of this article coming out, here we are in Narraganawali, coming together, alive. Anyone not alive? Come on, hang in there. It's nearly Friday. It's not nearly Friday. And we're all assembled. So let's save the world. Oh, we've been through that. Don't need to say that. As of 2019. Oh, we've been through that. Sorry about that. Anybody? But out of that came something beautiful. So because of the lockdown, the global pandemic, Floriade had to reimagine itself. It had to disperse all of its bulbs and its plants to the community. And so our service applied. And what I think is so wonderful about this is that children got to participate in a Canberra event as citizens, connecting and contributing in a really, really beautiful and meaningful way, rather than just being spectators, being on the path, on the prescribed path. Take it to, don't touch. Who's who here has a service where if a child picks a flower, that's it, all the flowers are gone? Don't pick that, that's our only flower. So at our service, I like to have so many flowers that if they get picked, it's teaching a child something. So this is how our children were part of Floriade Reimagined. So now, each child that attends a service benefits from the work done by previous children. And if we're looking at Bronfenbrenner's Circle of Influence, which was created in the 70s, when we were a childcare facility, now we're an early learning service, and these children are going to be taking these skills out into those circles of influences. They become adults themselves. So I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be able to be speaking to you about facilitating children's access to nature in early learning settings. So who controls children's access to nature in early learning settings? Don't have to tell me. But what I want to say is what has happened here at Woden can be achieved with very little expertise. Now, who here feels like they have very little expertise? A lot of people. But it can be done with the children. We can learn with the children. And it's so important, not just because of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, but because the early years is the time when children are most enthusiastic and willing to try new things. As they become teenagers, I'm tired, I'm busy. So we're trying, you might have seen it in your own service, that if you're doing the sweeping, a child wants to help sweep. If you're digging, a child wants to dig. If you're planting, the child wants to plant. If you're eating from the garden, the child also wants to eat. Also, you'll have children who are early adopters. So when I worked at early learning service, it was quite small. I observed that snow peas were aspirational finds. And because that child had found a snow pea, that child wanted to find a snow pea. And so we were learning how to pick snow peas. And part of sustainable practice at Woden and at this small service was to teach children how to pick without pulling up the whole plant. So as young as toddlers, they can be learning to hold the plant with one hand and pull with the other. So I started out with very little expertise. I'm just going to take you on a little autobiographical tour, if you don't mind, because we're going to come back to this. This is the purpose I signed up for in 2017 when I became the Nature Pedagogy Leader at Woden, and I had 3.5 years experience in the sector. So the purpose is to nurture confident, respectful and responsible citizens of the world. I'm like, I get it, I'm on it. And the director said, do it your way. And I said, I don't have a way yet. But I had a lot more experience. I had my first year, where I was 42, reincarnated without dying, I like to call it. So I went into the early learning sector because my sister said that she thought I would be good at it. And the first year I spent inside, upstairs, brand new service, visually stunning, but the sound bounced off the walls. So a lot of places are designed for the look of it, and how children are engaged at a visual level. But I get very overwhelmed when there's a lot of children who are in a new service, there's new educators, our room leader kept leaving, well, not the same one, like different ones kept leaving, and it was me and another educator going, we're going to hang in there for the kids. And we did. Because previous to that, previous to me being 42 and inside, where I had to wear shoes. As you can see, I'm shoe intolerant. I had to wear shoes, but I didn't have to wear a hat, because children inside don't need to wear hats. So where's your hat? Was something that was rarely said in that service. Hear it all the time at Woden. So my previous experience was walking barefoot in rainforests, swimming in rainforest rivers, walking up mountains, all of that, when I was working in radio in Cairns. And then I went to the Pilbara to work for the ABC. And I used, people used to say, what's it like? And I would say, it's like Cairns, but waxed, and it looks like Mars. And I recently discovered that NASA has actually been sending their scientists to the Pilbara to see what life is like on Mars. And I don't know about Mars, but in the Pilbara, hot water comes out of both taps. And it was in the Pilbara that I got to know the Nullumara and Injabundi women and their children. And I got to learn firsthand that their housing was not fit for purpose. And I worked with them to come up with solutions around that. But it was in the hottest, driest part of Australia, the part of Australia that everyone's scared that the eastern side of Australia will turn into if we don't act now. It was here I learnt from a man living off the grid, about 1 hour outside of Port Hedland. No phone coverage, so meeting him for the first time was thrilling. I don't know this man. But he taught me how to live off the land, like how he was living off the land, how to grow food and look after chickens, amongst other things. And we became really good friends. So when it came time to come back from the Pilbara to Sydney to reincarnate, I brought all those skills with me. And I applied them to my neighbour's garden. So my neighbour's garden started off being very hostile. So it was like wood chip and lavender because she couldn't care for it. She was elderly, retired teacher, but she had grandchildren. And so I created what I thought would be wonderful for children to explore in, some who were crawling. So there are flowers and beans and just, interesting winding paths and little rooms, nature rooms, that they could explore there. So all of the sensory and edibles, and it became quite lush and very habitable and a very nice place to spend time in. And that saved my life, working indoors for that whole year. Upstairs, we could open the windows a bit. And then my sister said, hey, my nephew is attending a service that's in a house and they're looking for another educator. And I'm like, I'm there. I want to be closer to my sister. So when I arrived, the yard looked like this. And so we started a Garden of the Future project. And the reason why I put it like stained glass on the window, and you can do that just with glue and texture, really, create those little words and symbols. This is where the parents would come and pick up their children, and so we could have a conversation with them at the window. Also created the plan on a whiteboard with the children. And it was one day when I started there in July of 2016. And then there was a conversation, why does the water flow that way? That was a question. And so from that, the tap was here and we created, when we turned the tap on, the river would flow through these rocks and it would flow down into a pond where the children would sit when the weather was hot. I imagine them sitting there having a little mani-pedi. We brought in free fill, so that hill wasn't originally there, and we made it a hill up behind that bean tunnel there as well. With didn't cost anything. The person brought it to us, and with the children, we brought it all in and made the hill. And then I was living out at Burra at the time, so I had access to these logs, and I brought these logs in, and we had a yarning circle. I'd done some work with reverse garbage in Sydney, so I had some street banners and we put them up for shade, and I think all this furniture was donated, as well as the the fake grass as well. So in October, it's hard to see. Go back and have a look at the, if you want. But those children there have something that looks like a screwdriver, like a bottle opener, but it's big, and it makes a hole in the ground. And we stuck sticks in and planted beans. We covered tyres with hessian and filled them with soil and created a bean tunnel. And this child here is going, whoa, I found some beans. Hated eating vegetables, yet when he could take these beans in and cook them themselves, he would eat them. He still didn't like them. He was still going, yum. You could tell he didn't like it. But he was a participant and had agency and had control and knowledge about the food that he was eating. We picked everything from the garden in February that had colour to it, and then we saw what sort of colour that made, and we've got it here today, that book, if you want to have a look at it. It's on that table just there, so it's in there. The colours are still on. It's really good. All right. Let me get to my notes. So, there's an educator sitting with an infant. Summer's day. It's now beautiful and cool. Oh, there's a chicken. That's cool. But what I took with me when this service closed is how capable and interested children are in connecting and contributing to their world. So what I thought would happen with gardens is we'd plant something and the children would destroy it, and they didn't. They were involved, they knew about it, they loved it, they ate from it, they had the illusion of hiding within it, they could slide down the hill. And now, with the new EYLF, it's saying approved providers and educators are attending to all aspects of the environment. But I'm going to add to do it with the children, because we do this with the children one project at a time. And Rhonda was talking about the new principles of leadership and collaboration. Highly recommend installing a nature pedagogy leader, because it's a lot. So when I joined the team in 2017, they'd made inroads into transitioning to a nature play-based service, because that's what the parents wanted, and the parents are the executive committee. So we're a not-for-profit, community-based service serving the families of ACT Health. And working with the families and educators, I've witnessed that a service can transition to a nature play-based service with a simple philosophy, which that was the philosophy at the time. We've since expanded on that. Reciprocal relationships that go along with active community participation. Does that sound familiar? And also the frameworks in action. This wonderful human here was outraged and distressed, and I gave her this, and her face turned into that. That's what I love about this job. So, the new EYLF is saying environmental sustainability focuses on caring for our natural world and protecting, preserving, and improving the environment. I think we already know children are capable of this from the small service example. That happened, that transformation started in July. We're coming up to July soon, if I'm right about things. It's a good time to start planning with the children. And by February, it was looking like amazing. All done with the children, and the parents helped as well. So I'd like to show you this. So this video was filmed in the years when it was hot. Remember those? 2019 into 2020? So in that video, environmental, economic and social sustainability. Just saying. So what Woden did to establish a nature play service is in page 98 of the National Quality Standards. They're exceeding themes. But if we are going to act now, and if we are going to respect the rights of children to participate and contribute to the community's broader sustainability goals, I would like to see that exceeding theme move to meeting. Just saying. So with the environmental, economic and social sustainability, Woden's at a bit of an advantage because they're not for profit. All the money goes back into the service. So you have this toroidal field of give and take, which is the pattern of nature. It's the field that's around the earth and it's the field of well-being. I connect and contribute to my community. My community connects and contributes to me. And you see those movements in Tai Chi. And if you do that, like me, you get chi. Goosebumps. There's your chi. So each generation is benefiting from the previous. So the money that we get means that we can put that money towards more educators. So we're working above the ratio within rooms. We've been able to afford to invest in two extra pedagogical leaders, myself and Marissa, who work very closely with Tracy, who's holding the fort back at Woden today. And as you can tell, I'm a bit woo, and she's all like... And so if you think of me like a liquid, her and Paulina are my container. Okay, so that they make sure all this woo goes somewhere useful. and I've already said that I do the nature pedagogy within the service, and Marissa and I support each other in our roles. But Marissa takes all rooms on different days out for nature walk. They go on to country. So on country, we might come across bones. So we teach that belongs to country. And in doing that, we're teaching the world as a relationship, not as an object for me to acquire, which has been the dominant attitude towards the earth. It's we learn about it, it's out there, and we're in here safe from it. And sometimes we need to be inside being safe from it. I'm not saying that we don't. And also, again, you've got all these connections going on, so it's not a static thing, it's this, okay? So what will be the benefits of transitioning to nature play in your service, especially with the guidance of a nature pedagogy leader or an amazing educator, just somebody who's going to be able to lead it? Your educators are going to be able to learn any gaps within your knowledge. So have you learnt from me, please say yes. have you learnt from me any gaps that you had in your own knowledge? Because we do it together, we do it collaboratively. So Rhonda talked about the new principles. Well, I have to be, I call it a support educator. I was at some point when I first started going, why aren't you blur? And you need to blur. And they were all like, what? But with the team, with the nature pedagogy program, we've been able to involve everybody and not just woo. And also, hopefully you'll be nourished by your efforts, which I think very strongly corresponds with mental health. It's one of the reasons why I reincarnated without dying is because it was all this and not this. And also remember, nature, the environment, is the third teacher, but she's not just the third teacher. She's the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. She's on the table. She's there. She's in you. And so if she was a pronoun, or they were a pronoun, they're they, them. All right, nature isn't just a one thing. And she's had 4.5 billion years of research and development raising young people and young creatures and life itself. So part of my research, I came across the report of the Special Rapporteur on the issue of human rights obligations relating to the enjoyment of a safe, clean, healthy and sustainable environment. So can I just call it the report, if I refer back to it? And in that report, they said children, our educational obligations to children is to give them environments so they can enjoy the world and strengthen their capacity to respond to environmental challenges. Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Act now! Right, we're doing that. Educational super friends, assemble. It also said in the report that nature, exposure to nature has beneficial effects on mental health. So even just having the smell of this mint in the room, people coming in going, oh, experiencing well-being. But the report said many children, especially in urban settings, have little or no contact with the environment. And we know that this style of living is part of a family's lives. And sometimes coming to an early learning service might be the only time that child gets one-on-one time with nature, to interact with nature in a way that nature itself invites. So an educator might have all the best intentions of the world of creating a high-rise living for worms, but over time that becomes rotting vegetables and redbacks. So it's not sustainable. It's a great concept in theory. In practice, it's revolting. So we want to find worms in context, and we do that by having logs. So what are the obstacles to giving children access to nature in your learning service? Well, a lot of educators are being asked to teach what they themselves might not feel confident with. And if you are a learner like me, you see all those words and you just go, ugh. So let's just bring all those concepts into Mother Earth, caring embrace with some nature pedagogy, and all that will be covered, I promise. Because at our service, before they go into the Narragunna Wally, we do an acknowledgement of country, where we touch the land and say, hello land, I promise to care for you, and you care for me. Hello trees, hello plants, I promise to care for you, and you care for me. And then we unpack that. How do the plants care for us? How does the land care for us? And by doing that, we're also establishing rights and responsibilities. And children love responsibilities. I love that. Teenagers don't like it. But this is the age where we're giving them access to nature so that they can start developing those relationships. So, what actions can we take so that children can be active participants in all matters affecting their lives? And I'm going to say the meta crisis that they're growing up into is something that will affect their lives. So I feel it's an ethical obligation to give them the resources and the environments that they need to come up with the solutions that they're going to have to find in the future. And how do we respect their views? So at our service, we've created an Access to Nature survey because last year the United Nations sent out an invitation to all children to give their opinion on the environment. And there are questions like, what do you think governments should do if businesses fail to do their child right due diligence? And I asked that of the children just to see how they would answer it, and they told me, I have a Band-Aid. So what we did is we created an assessment tool. There's a hard copy on your table there, so that we could give our children's opinion and participate in the survey on their behalf. And what this Access to Nature survey could do for your service is provide information for your quality improvement plan. And this is the final video of the presentation. Oh, sorry, went too far. So there's a QR code that I will come back to, and also it's up on that wall there. In a nutshell, transitioning to a nature play-based service in early learning environments should be seriously considered as part of the community's broader sustainability goals. Investing in a nature pedagogy transition strategies for early learning, education and care services would be great as a world-leading approach to solving our current ecological challenges. And with 75% of brain development happening by the time a child is three, the impact of early learning environments will impact how children will connect and contribute to the world for their whole lives. Did I skip over the video? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll tell you this and then we'll go back to it. This is the one thing that you can do to start at your service today. When you go back to your service with the children, go outside, feel like it, take off your shoes, touch the land with the children and say, "Hello, land. I promise to care for you and you care for me." And then have conversations about that. So let me just show you this beautiful video that we made to invite people to participate. Educational Therapy Friends Assemble! There's the QR code. There's also the QR code also over there. Please keep in touch. We'll be running a Nature Pedagogy Bridges and Rivers session at our service sometime soon in the next few months. And just always happy to connect and contribute.
Thank you so much, Gabby. Can you all
thank you.